Your praise, the enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. a loud voice. Yes. Yes. He's worthy of it. Chasing the wind. That's what people are doing. You are holding on to the power. You are shouting to the one who has everything. Shout it out loud. Woo! Hallelujah. Out of nothing, he made everything. Out of the dirt, you got gold. That's our God. Shout out loud when it is time to shout out loud. I don't doubt him. I doubt myself. But I don't doubt him. He can do it. He said he will do it. So he's going to do it tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He said if you put your hand into his hand, he will lead you. Hallelujah. 5 years. 5 years ago. 5 years ago. I was a crazy man. Back there. I always loved to be back there. Shouting and dancing. And I love it. Because God has brought me from so far. When I'm here, I can't do it like I want to do it. Because it's man, it's a place where, wow. But man, God is so good. So 5 years ago, I was just over there looking into those who sing here and dancing. But God changed the course of the history of my life. The craziness of Calvary Gospel Church brought into my life a ministry. And African people have a ministry here. 5 years. Nobody can do that. It takes God. He did it 5 years. And I'm counting on him forever. Hallelujah. That's why we have invited Dr. Forkpa, who started the ministry. He came and stayed here for 3 months. 3 months. The outreach showed us how to outreach. And the ministry started. With fear and trembling, we started. Every day I wake up and I ask what I'm going to do. How am I going to do it? I don't see what I did. But here is aim. Growing in a way or another. It's just a start. 5 years. But we are so happy that we have to celebrate. So, brothers and sisters, if you have a ministry and if God has talked to you about a ministry, don't be afraid. Start it. You will take it over. And it will be great. Always. Our God is great and everything he does is great. Calvary Gospel is great because our God is great. Ha! We have in the midst of us the Son of the Father. The Father that started this ministry. Young man, young blood. So you see the energy. We were blessed this morning. This afternoon it was so powerful, I almost cried all afternoon. Tonight, if you are standing here, I beseech you in the name of the Lord, open your faith, open your heart, receive it. It is not going to be man thing. It's going to be always God thing. And it always have a good result. God bless you for your obedience. And if you are here for the first time, ha, crazy like I am, I wasn't like that. Hear me. I was a fighter out there. Not happy. Couldn't dance like I'm dancing. He saved me. He brought me from far. He will do it for you tonight. Try this God, and you will be surprised. Brother Fortba, come. God bless you.
Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. You see, I don't know what you came to do tonight, but I came to praise the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. While you are still standing, I want to recognize the presence of God in this house tonight. God is faithful. Amen. When I was called to perform this task, I asked myself, where will the strength come from? But God has been so good, and he has showed up, and I bless God for everything he has done so far, and I'm looking forward to what he has planned to do tonight in Jesus' name. I'd like to also take this time to appreciate the leadership of this church for allowing a person like me to come here. You guys who have called a big-time preacher, who knows me? But you guys allow me to come, and I'm very much grateful. Amen. I'm not a man of a lot of words, but I'm happy that I'm here, and it is my prayer and hope that by the time we leave from here tonight, God himself is going to do something in the lives of his people. Because it's one thing to come to church, and it's quite another thing to encounter God. And we didn't come for flow show tonight. We didn't come to see people. We came to see God. And when you come in the right place with the right expectation, God shows up. The Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall never be cut off. And I am trusting God for great things tonight. And I hope and pray that we come in alignment with the Spirit of God, because God wants to do something in this house in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait for me. I heard wait for me, so I wait a little bit. Okay, I'll read to your hearing. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Let us go to chapter 18 and let's see what happens over there. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. In chapter 17, the prophet goes to the king and said, there's going to be no rain nor dew unless I say so. And in chapter 18, God is telling the prophet to go and show himself to the king, and there will be rain. I'm going to be preaching from the theme, looking for green grass instead of rain. Looking for green grass instead of rain. I want you to put your Bibles down and raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father Jesus, I beseech you, I beg you, Lord, send down your anointing in this house, Lord. Oh, Lord, let your power, let your glory fill this place, God. From the pulpit to the pews, God, do a work in this place, Jesus. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody put their hands together for Jesus and have your seat. Somebody put their hands together for Jesus again. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Looking for green grass instead of rain. In life, everybody is looking for something. I said, everybody is looking for something. Some people are looking for more money. Amen. Amen. Some people are just looking for fame. They want to be known. You call them celebrities. Amen. Some people, they just want to get married. It's funny if you marry. If you're not married, it's not funny. Oh, my God. Some people want children. Amen. And it is easy to overlook what the next person wants because that's not your need. We all have individual needs. But while we are striving and we are yearning and we are doing everything in our human ability to get out of these things, I want you to understand that these things, they are like the green grass. They are like the flower you see out there. That's why the Bible says the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord, I don't know what I feel like preaching, man. But the word of the Lord shall stand forever. And with all of the things you want in life, I want you to understand that everybody needs a word from the Lord. I said everybody needs a word from the Lord. And when you find a word from the Lord, you need to stand on the word. I heard what the doctor said, but I'm standing on the word of God. The doctor said, I got 2 months to live, but the Bible says that I shall live and not die. I choose to believe the word of the Lord. I heard what the counselor said. He said, my case is no good. I'm going to be locked up forever. But what is God saying? You need to look for a word from God. When you find a word from God, you need to stand on it. I'm standing on the promises of God. I said, I'm standing on the promises of God. I said, I'm standing on the promises of God. I said, I'm standing on the promises of God. Whose report do you believe? I said, whose report do you believe? I rep-
believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. His report says, I'm delivered. His report says, I'm the head and not the tail. His report says, I'm above and not beneath. His report says, I am what he says I am. Don't allow the devil to tell you anything different. I am what God says I am. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Don't allow the devil to fool you. Don't allow the devil to mess with your thinking. He wants you to think you are for nothing. Listen, if you were for nothing, Jesus wouldn't have died for you. I said, if you were cheap, Jesus wouldn't have died for you. You are wonderfully made. You are fearfully made. You were made in the image of God and after his likeness. Whenever the devil tries to tell you something different, you have to say, it is written. I said, it is written. Everybody needs a word from the Lord. But sometimes, if you are not careful, the voice of the Lord comes to you. And it gets in your head. Some people cannot stand to be blessed. Should I prove that in the scripture? David should have built a temple of God. But David could not build a temple of God because he had too much blood on his hands. And God said, you're not going to build my temple. I'm going to use your son. So now we see Solomon, he comes along. And he's now king. He goes to bed and God appears to him in his dream. And says, Solomon, ask me. Talk to me. What do you want me to do for you? I like the way Solomon addresses God. He said, God, before I can ask you for anything, I just want to tell you thank you for selecting my dad to be king. Because he was not even in the lineage of being king. But he became king through divine selection. And I want to tell you thank you, God. That's Solomon talking. I want to tell you thank you, God, for the way you made my dad prosperous. And now I am King Lloyd. I don't know what to do. So, I just want you to give me wisdom and knowledge to lead your people. And God said, wow. You could have asked me for the lives of your enemies, man. You could have asked me for other things. But since you chose to ask me for the ability to lead my people, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm also going to give you what you did not ask for. You heard that? I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you what you did not ask for. So Solomon has received a word from the Lord. And you have to understand that God cannot lie. When he says it, he does it. So Solomon had a promise from God. I'm getting somewhere. I promise you, I'm getting somewhere. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. And Solomon was so blessed until he messed up. Solomon got 700 girlfriends and 300 wives.
Amen. That's a lot. Just saying, that's a lot.
Solomon became so famous. He became so known. He became so successful to the extent that the queen of Sheba, she left her kingdom just to come and see the splendor of Solomon's kingdom. And the Bible says that when she saw his kingdom, it took her breath away. It was so beautiful. Solomon wore the nicest clothes that you can think about. And Ecclesiastes 12:13. Solomon says something that is very much important to Scripture. He says, now. Somebody say now. Now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Life. What is life? It is to fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. But Solomon forgot about the rain. He was going after the green grass. He forgot about the blesser, and he was going after the blessing. Some of us forget about the healer, and we are going after the healing. And you cannot mess with God. God wants to heal you, but he wants you to want him. God wants to deliver you, but he just don't want you to go after the deliverance. He wants you to go after the deliverer. And the reason for which most of us have not gotten our blessing yet is because we are running after the blessing instead of the blesser. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing. That includes healing. That includes blessings. That includes miracles. And all of these things shall be added unto you. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them. It seems like I better preach to myself right now, because I'm about to get happy. These signs shall follow them. Oh, most of the time we are going after the sign, but we should not be going after the sign. The sign should be coming after us. These signs shall follow them. Oh, I'm not going after the sign. The sign shall keep coming after me. I'm not praying to go after the sign. But when you have God on your inside, when you are living your life holy and acceptable unto God, when you are doing the things that God wants you to do, when you get down on your knees and pray, when you humble yourself before the Lord, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. I don't know about you, but I'm about to have church. I don't know about you, but I'm about to have church. Because these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I came to lift his name up high. For the Lord is good and his mercy. Mm. too many sign seekers. They are addicted about the signs and the wonders. And there is no relationship with God. I said, but there is no relationship with God. But the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. If you fear God, he's going to reveal some things to you. The reason there is no revelation, because there is no relationship. Hallelujah. I'm not going after the signs. If I have a relationship with God, the signs shall keep coming after me. And so Solomon messes up. And now he's writing to our generation. He said the duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. Why? Because God is going to bring every secret work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. And if it is evil, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So Solomon is saying, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandment. The fear of the Lord is the big. Amen. Looking for green grass instead of rain. I don't have time to preach everything. I'm just going to preach it. If I don't preach everything, your pastor is going to preach it. If he doesn't preach it, the bishop will preach it. But I'm just going to preach what God lays on my heart tonight. There is somebody under the tone of my voice that you need a relationship with God. And so the passage of scripture I just read, 1 Kings chapter number 17. In 17, Elijah comes to Ahab and said, there's going to be no rain. There's going to be no dew unless I say so. But who was Ahab? Ahab was a wicked king. Who was Ahab? Ahab was the one who got married to Jezebel. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel was a foreign queen who brought down the altars of the Lord. And she brought in false prophets. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel was a queen who killed the prophet of God. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel was a person who condoned sin. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel was the one who allowed the devil to use her against the kingdom of God. That was Jezebel. And so, the prophet comes, and he declares the word of God. And he walks away. What do you do when the windows of heaven and the doors of heaven are shut? What do you do when nothing falls from God down to you? That's a hard question, right? And so I was lying down in my bed this morning. Not my bed, actually, I got host. I'm not living here. Amen. And I was talking to God. Because God was the one who asked me this question. But whenever God asks a question, it's not to display God's ignorance. You didn't get that. Whenever God asks a question, he has the answer for the question. How do you know that he's omniscient? He knows everything. He knows your zip code. He knows your address. He knows your cell phone number. This should be scary. He knows your social security number. He knows the number of hair on your head. Hallelujah. There is nothing that God does not know. So God asked me this question. He said, what do you do when nothing falls from heaven to earth? I said, Lord. He said, when nothing falls from heaven to earth, earth should send something to heaven. When I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. When the locusts come and eat up your crops. When your children are acting crazy. When you lose your job. And when your friends and family turn their back on you. And you are going down to the last down. F my people. Which are called by my name. Will humble themselves and pray. And send something. You're not getting me. I said when nothing falls from heaven to earth, let earth send something to heaven. If my people which I call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I, God, will hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. And because nothing left from earth to heaven, nothing came from heaven to earth. Who's living in a dry place? When was the last time you sent something to heaven? When was the last time you sent a crazy praise to heaven until everybody in church felt that you were losing your mind? When was the last time you prayed to God until you saw God face to face? When was the last time you handled God? When was the last time you felt God? Heaven has not gone out of supplies. Heaven can bless you and don't even feel it. Heaven has unlimited supplies. But it's our fault. We always want to receive from God and not send something up. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, exceedingly abundantly. Oh, God is in the business of blessing his people. When was the last time? But instead of going after God, we are going after the blessing, looking for green grass. Instead of rain, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. With everything within me, Lord, I love you, Jesus. To whom else can I go? You have the word of eternal life. I cannot leave you. You are my everything. I love you because you first love me. I love you because you are God. I love you because you are my Father. I love you. I just love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not about what you can get from him. It's about who he can be to you. Hallelujah. No rain and no dew. And the prophet is not in town. And heaven is locked down. There is drought. The animals are dying. The people are struggling. And God is just sitting, waiting to bless his people. When his people were just sitting, waiting for him to bless them. And after 3 years, the prophet who came and prophesied and said there would be no rain, not dew, unless I say so, the prophet came back to town. It is now time that the true preachers show up. I said, it is now time that the truth men of God, people that have been called by God, people that are anointed by God, now is the time for them to show up. How can they hear without a preacher? When the preachers go silent, there is no direction, there is no instruction, and there is no revelation from God. But we need preachers back in town. We need preachers back in town. We need preachers of righteousness, people who will speak the word of God with soundness and clarity, people who will preach under the anointing and power of God. We need preachers back in town. And he comes to town and he meets Obadiah. He said, Obadiah said, oh, are you about to kill? He said, no, Elijah said, I didn't come to kill you. Go and tell Ahab that I am back in town. Long story short, Ahab sees the man of God. He accuses the man of God. He said, you are the one who brings trouble to this land. Most of the time, people that cause trouble blame other people for the trouble they cause. People share blames, man. It's not me. It's him. It's not her. It's them. It's not them. And just look back at Genesis. Adam blamed his wife Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. We keep blaming people for the stuff that we do. So the prophet says, you know what? Ahab, you are going to look for green grass to feed the rest of the animals that were left. But if there was no rain for 3 years, why should you be looking for the green grass? You should not be looking for the green grass. You should be looking for the rain. Because when the rain comes, the grass will grow again. I said, stop looking for the green grass. Pray to God for rain. Because when the rain comes down, the grass will grow again. You don't need the grass, you need a rain. And whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. You didn't get that. I said, whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. I said, whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to rain tonight. It's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray and let the Lord have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel it falling down on me. That latter rain forms a rain together. I'm not talking about the weather. The Holy Ghost rain. I said the Holy Ghost rain is falling down. All over this place, the Holy Ghost rain. I'm not talking about the weather. And let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. I'm not talking about snow. I'm talking about the rain. I'm not just talking about the natural rain. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about God coming down. I'm talking about the anointing and the power of God. I'm talking about the anointing that has the power to break the yoke. God is about to come down. Oh, I feel the power of God. Oh, I feel the power of God. Oh. And the prophet tells Ahab, let's go to the mountain. I want you to bring all them false prophets. And let it be a contest. And the God that answereth by fire. You didn't get that. I said, the God that answereth by fire. Oh, you didn't get that. I said, let me preach to the preachers. I said, the God that answereth by fire. Let me preach to my friend and brother. I said, the God that answereth by fire. Let me preach to you. I said, the God that answereth by fire. I said, the God that answereth by fire. I feel like preaching. I said, the God that answereth by fire. Let him be God. And those false prophets were noisy. No power. Noise. Do you know when you try to deliver somebody that is demon possessed, it's not in the loudness of the noise, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that resides on your inside. It's not how loud you are, it's how powerful you are. And greater is he that is in me and he that is in the world. It's not about how loud you are. It's about how connected you are. When you are connected to God, you can draw out power. You can lay your hands on the sick and say, in the name of Jesus. And we I've gone to churches and I've seen a lot of sick folks. People are sick. Could it be we are not really drawing out power from God? We could be so connected to God until we don't even have to pray. We can just speak to sickness.
Hallelujah.
Sickness out in the name of Jesus. Cancer, right? Out in the name of Jesus. You don't even have to listen to you don't have to have a conversation with the demon, the devil, or the sickness because you have power. I told somebody last time, I know I got time. Well, I'll soon be closing. I'm sorry. I don't live here. I told somebody, I've heard a lot of great testimonies. How preachers lay their hands on the dead and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, come back to life. And immediately they receive life. I've heard a lot of people give a lot of great testimony. And I'm not satisfied until I see that in my generation.
Amen.
I said, I'm not satisfied until I see that in my generation. Lord, if you can use anybody, you can use me. Oh, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. If I said this in a bad way, y'all can correct me after service, okay? I was in Indiana, that's where I live, just in case you don't know. And I saw a bunch of young apostolic Pentecostal folks. They went to National Youth Congress. And you know the mindset they had? I'm going to National Youth Congress because I want to experience God. You're wrong. The same God was in National Youth Congress is in your local church. You need to get connected to the extent that the same power that was in National Youth Congress should be established in your local church. I don't have to buy a plane ticket or get on the bus or drive and put mileage in my car just to have revival. I can have revival right here and right now. If you are going to National Youth Congress just to have a revival, you are going after the sign. These signs shall follow them that believe. It should happen in our local church every Sunday. Every Sunday should be a revival Sunday. Every Sunday we should baptize somebody. Every Sunday somebody should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every Sunday somebody should be healed. Every Sunday yoke should be broken. Chains should be broken. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. When we come to church, we should be happy. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord," because something should happen whenever we come to church where two or three are gathered together in my name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Where two or three? You didn't get that. I said, where two or three? Where two or three? If we decree a thing, it shall be established. Where two or three? Where is the power? Where is the healing? Where is the deliverance? We need a revival, man. And the false prophet, they did all they had to do. And Elijah started to mock at them. He said, "You know what? He's a god. He's busy. Maybe he's over on the other side of town. And he will have to catch the bus before he can come here. So you have to increase your voice." And Elijah mocked them. And the Bible says, at the end of their jumping up and doing everything, doing the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, "Guys, it's over for you guys, man. I can see you're tired. Can I get you some food to eat? Do you want some water? You must be tired, man. Forever, since this morning, you guys been doing this thing." And the Bible says something that is very much important to the scripture. The Bible says that Elijah went and he rebuilt the altar of the Lord. That was broken down. That's where the problem was at. It was not about the green grass. It was not about the rain. It was about the broken altar. He built the altar in the name of the Lord. And let me use my spiritual imagination. He raised his hands towards heaven. And for the first time in a long time, something was about to go up to heaven. I said, for the first time in a long time, something was going up to heaven. And the Bible says, while he was yet praying. Sometimes we think the answer to our prayer is in the many words that we do. God does not answer your prayer by the words that you say, but the attempt you make to get connected, draw to God, and he will draw near to you. If you make if you take one step, God takes many steps to come to you. As he was still praying, the Bible said, the God who's the consuming fire. I said, as he was still praying, the God who is the consuming fire. You have to understand that the rain will not fall until the fire falls. I said, the rain will not fall until the fire falls. And the God who is the consuming fire, he sent down fire from heaven. He consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar. Elijah was not looking for rain. He was not even looking for the green grass. He wanted to rebuild the altar. If you rebuild your altar in the name of the Lord, and if you put a sacrifice on your altar, the musicians can come. The fire of the Lord will fall. I said, if you rebuild your altar in the name of the Lord, and there is a sacrifice on your altar, the fire of God will fall. And Elijah took all the false prophets and he killed them. You can't kill people in America, man. You can't kill people in America, man. False prophet had to die. And Elijah goes to Ahab and he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Let me try over on this side. I hear the sound, not just rain, but abundance of rain. Let me try on this side. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Let me try on this side. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The altar has been rebuilt. So I hear something. It's not just rain. It is abundance of rain. It's just not revival. It is abundance of revival. It is not just healing. It is abundance of healing. It's not just deliverance. It is abundance of deliverance. It is abundance. Sometimes when we describe our God, we think we can put words to the description of God. And we say he's omnipotent, he's all powerful, he's omniscient, he knows everything, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere present at the same time, he's immutable, he cannot get old, he's forever. We put all of these words to God. He's our provider, he's our caretaker, he's our this, he's our that. But as you are saying that, I beg to differ. That's not the God I know. He's El Shaddai. I said he's El Shaddai. You didn't get that. I said he's El Shaddai. I said he's El Shaddai. It seems I'm just preaching to myself. Yo, wait a little bit, y'all. I said he's El Shaddai. I said he's El Shaddai. That means that he's more than enough. He's more than a doctor. He's more than a healer. He's more than a deliverer. He's more than anything. You can put words to his El Shaddai. And Elijah goes up to the mountain and he's praying to God. And the Bible says that he sends his servant and says, go out there and go see if it is getting cloudy. Because I know that God spoke to me. That it was going to rain. I received that in my spirit. And the servant went out. He came to Elijah and said, I ain't seen nothing. He went the first time, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. He went the seventh time. He said, Elijah, I see something. But don't be happy. It's just a cloud the size of a man's hand. It's just a cloud the size of a man's hand. The last time I was just walking, I like to walk sometimes. My dad thought me there. And I saw an airplane. It was flying so high. And from where I stood, the airplane looked like the size of a man's hand. But the thing that looked like the size of a man's hand was not the size of a man's hand. It was just the distance between me and the thing. But the thing that you see, the size of a man's hand, guess what? It's coming down tonight.
Hallelujah.
I said the thing you see, like the size of a man's hand, is coming down tonight. Elijah went to Ahab and said, run, go. Because if you don't run, this ring is going to stop you. And you may stand to your feet right now. I want to announce to this church tonight. That. It's about to rain. And if you don't want to get wet, don't come here. If you don't want to get saved, don't come here. If you don't want to get, if you don't want to receive your deliverance, don't come here. If you don't want to touch from God, don't come here. If you don't want for God to touch you, don't come here. But if you want the rain to fall on you, I dare you, make a move. It is about to rain.
Let it rain.